Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
Bring it up, Jake. You better you bet on the BetQL Network. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, and you. We'll get to the Conn Smythe market, most valuable player of the NHL postseason, coming up in 20 minutes. All our bets for tonight, 40 minutes from now. A bunch of playoff games in the NBA and the National Hockey League. Can't wait to roll through the entire slate. I don't feel as confident in tonight's slate as I did last night's, but that probably won't stop me from making a lot of bets. We'll find out what Ken Barkley likes as well in the final segments of the show. 40 minutes from now, all our bets for the NBA and the NHL postseason. A little bit more, though, for now on the NFL draft. Closed last hour talking about J.J. McCarthy. Maybe he goes later than expected. Current draft position, 5.5 at BetMGM. Juiced under -130. Ken, do you want to bet J.J. McCarthy over 5.5 based off the conversation we just had?
I think I am more likely to bet it now than I was before. I think I wasn't thinking about it at all before. And you were just, again, it's musical chairs. You're just removing destinations. He becomes the only quarterback on the board. And how many teams are trading up? This is the argument that you made last hour. Okay, if that's true, like there's also a flip side to that. Then like, if you bet his over, you're saying he's not basically like, it's a new bet. It's J.J. McCarthy won't go fourth or fifth. That's like the new bet that you're making because 2 and 3 are spoken for already in this exercise. So then it becomes who does go fourth and fifth, because McCarthy is very prominently involved in the multi-way markets for both of those picks still as being pretty likely as someone trading up to take him. Like, who would you bet fourth and who would you bet? I mean, these are correlated. And then the question is going to be, if you think McCarthy is going to go later than fifth, is it better to just bet someone specific to go fourth or someone specific to go fifth that isn't J.J. McCarthy? Because you think it's more likely to be one of those players.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. It's something I need to think a little bit more about today and tonight and tomorrow And moving forward, Adam Schefter tweeting moments ago, Ken, the Denver Broncos have just put out their official tweet that they've acquired Zach Wilson from the New York Jets, so the trade is official. Schefter quote tweets the Broncos tweet, and his addition to it is Denver's new QB, Zach Wilson. Doesn't mean that he's definitely going to be the Denver Broncos starting quarterback, but it's an interesting, right, because this happened right before we went on the air yesterday. Zach Wilson traded to the Denver Broncos from the New York Jets, and we had Eric Eager on the show, and Eric would have said Zach Wilson to be the Jets week one starter at minus 150. Eric knows what he's talking about. Doesn't mean Zach Wilson's definitely going to be the starter. I think I feel a little confident right now in just removing Denver from the equation of a team to trade up. Not all the way there. Again, it's just like musical chairs. I don't know where McCarthy's going under if this is the scenario that unfolds here. I don't know where he's... I guess you need the Patriots to stand pat at 3, pun intended, and then the Vikings could trade up for McCarthy if they're so desperate for a quarterback.
At 4 or 5, right, and essentially like leapfrog the Giants or something in that situation. You could also have... You were sort of in the exercise we did last segment, you hypothesized that the Vikings... amount of draft capital means that they would win a bidding war against the Giants for the 3rd overall pick. So therefore the Giants couldn't get to 3 because the Vikings would get to 3. Like, is there a scenario where the Vikings are like, it's too much, and they like the Giants do get to 3? Because that's also how McCarthy goes under, is that that happens and then the Vikings trade up anyway for McCarthy at 4 or 5. That's also how that could play out.
I think so. I have incomplete information here. story of the NFL Shocker. Draft betting season. Right. Incomplete information, which is I don't know how the Vikings view J.J. McCarthy. They've kind of they put their cards. So normally when we see this, I don't know if Eric put it like this when he was on with us yesterday. But normally when you get a situation like this, when a team puts its cards all on the table, and telegraph what they're going to do, you know what it is. You know who they're going to take. We sure don't know who it is with the Vikings. Is it McCarthy? Is it May? So I'd love to be able to tell you. Yeah, they would just trade up for J.J. McCarthy. What if they just love Drake May? Then what? Then what? Maybe they stand pat at 11. I don't know what would happen then.
Just correct me if I'm wrong, just because you said normally when a team does, gets the second first round pick and it's like, oh, they're going to trade up and you know who they're going to take, that I could be not remembering this correctly, misremembering. Didn't we blast the Saints because they had 2 firsts and didn't use them to trade up? Didn't they have them and the speculation was that they were going to go get somebody and then they didn't? Did that happen? That was 2 years ago, right?
I think that did happen. Yeah, they took I think they took a lot. No, they did trade up, but they traded. No, they traded up for Olave.
Oh, really? I feel like they kept. I feel like they didn't do something that you wanted them to do or people wanted them to do. I feel like
Tyler, it was with the Eagles, yeah. Right? Tyler, am I right about that? That the Saints traded with the Eagles and they traded a future one to the Eagles.
Yep. Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
We didn't know that. Did we know that that's who they wanted in this exercise? Probably not,
I think that I think it was rumored that they might like him, but yeah, if my memory serves me correctly, that's what happened.
I was just trying to think of other historical situations to just prove your point or disprove it.
That was 22. That was the 2022 draft, right? Because this was Olave's second year this last year.
Yeah. So I mean, you could be right. I'm trying to think of other bets that would be impacted by this. Do you have any interest in trying to guess what the Cardinals are going to do or what the Chargers are going to do? Do you want to try to guess that they're going to stay? This was John's point when he came on is what do you think they're going to do? It's I think they might just stay and pick this guy, or I think they might just stay and pick this guy. This would also be part of the McCarthy slide as those two teams keep their pick. And this is how you win over 5.5 is the Cardinals are yeah, we're going to take Harrison or Neighbors. And the Chargers are yeah, we're going to take a lineman. It's cool, now we're 6 and we win. And it doesn't matter whether the Giants take him or whether the Patriots are there or whatever. I don't think you have any more info than I do. Any best guess about what you think 4 and 5 are going to be? We can move on to something else. Play out the McCarthy slide, right? I mean, that's part of it.
Best guess. Chargers lineman. I'm not willing to say it's going to be Joe Alt. It might be. Could be somebody else also.
By Latham? That's Daigle and Whale both gave us Latham as a fringy, could make sense there, first lineman. Huge price still. It's come down, but it's still a really big number versus
apparently
the likelihood that it's going to happen.
Remember, I said yesterday I was talking with, so like, there were two of the guys that I was talking with, like, yesterday before the show about it.
Sure.
was like less, and like, I wasn't the one that connected the dots on Latham being like a fit to the Chargers. Just more, you know, like, the market is pricing Joe Walt like he's close to a certainty to be the first offensive lineman. Like, do we
-900
really, like, is that? And he's more of a favorite now than he was yesterday. So maybe he is just as certain to be the first lineman. Like, someone knows that. I don't know.
But that's not something you can know, because you have to know who would even make the pick, and the Chargers might trade it. These are the markets where it's like, oh, like, somebody must know something. What could they even know? There's nothing to know. Like, it's like, well, I know the Chargers love him. Okay, great. Well, they're not picking there anymore. Glad they love him. Yeah, just like, great. Who cares?
Yeah, like, you have to know the Chargers love him. The Titans love him. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You'd have to know, like, stuff that you're not going to find all of that out, most likely.
Right. I mean, even if you, like, the thing you could know is, like, well, the Titans really like him at 7. And it's like, that's still not -900. The Chargers pick before you. Like, it's just, that's what it is. I mean, I don't know. It just, and then you also have, like, if the, like, okay, like, Patriots flip with the Giants for 3 or to 6 or whatever, like, the Patriots are there, and like, who are they going to pick? Like, there's picks before the Titans where you, even if you know the Titans love Joe Alt, you still can't justify this price. Even if you knew that they were like, hey, if he's there, we're going to take him, he still can't be -900.
I'll do like an impromptu top 10 right now.
Right, right now.
So, pencil, not pen, although I will write it with pen because I don't have a pencil in my house.
Can I do the draft sound effect?
Honestly, like, I get kind of turned on when I hear that noise. Like, in a sexual way.
Some people like Sade, Barry White, for Nickets.
Jaden Daniels and Drake May. Great song, man. Best Sade song, Is It a Crime, by the way, not Smooth Operator. That's my hot take for the show today. I guess my other hot take was the Lakers would be winning back-to-back titles if the Nuggets didn't exist, but I digress. honestly,
you just snap your fingers. There's no more Denver Nuggets. They just don't exist.
Yeah. I believe that that's true. Like, Lakers, if the Nuggets get picked off last year before the Western Conference Final, Lakers beat whoever they play. Lakers beat the Heat in the finals. And this year, the Lakers would win the championship if the Nuggets weren't there.
The first one is a way easier case to make than the second one, I think. I think it would just be close with a bunch of other teams in the West. I wouldn't say for sure the Lakers would win. Last year, it's an easy argument, and they would play the Heat. They played them already. Like, they would have a huge advantage in the series.
All right, so for first pick of the Nick Kostos impromptu mock draft, Chicago, J.J. McCarthy. Just kidding, Caleb Williams. Pick 2, far be it from me to go against Herm Edwards, Brian Baldinger, Ron Rivera, and others. Jaden Daniels to Washington. Pick 3 for now. Let's go Minnesota trades up for Drake May. So now we go Arizona on the clock at 4. This is where I'm playing with having the Patriots trade back. Like, I think they could get really wacky with Belichick out now. Do I want to have the Patriots?
They were pretty wacky before. Like, their wackiness before was, let's trade down as much as humanly possible.
Or, like, take an offensive lineman.
Don't pan out.
Right. Take an offensive lineman that the rest of the league has ranked in the 5th round, and we take him to 28th. Sure. Cole Strange, we're looking at you. I guess I won't have the Patriots trading back from 3 to 11 and then trading back up to 4. I don't think I can do that. I'll have Arizona. Yeah, let's have Arizona take Malik Nabers here, 4th.
Blammo.
With this mock. Chargers at 5, because I don't think anyone's trading up for McCarthy at this point now. I don't think it's happening. Chargers, J.C. Latham.
Cool. Your team gets Harrison?
Giants, J.J. McCarthy.
Woo! Marvin Harrison Jr. is the slider in this equation, which is ridiculous.
Tennessee, Marvin Harrison.
Harrison definitely at that point, yeah. They're gonna Atlanta. They're going to a ton of phone calls, by the way, if that's what happens.
Atlanta. I'll go with a guy just for now, and I reserve the right to change my mind like as soon as tomorrow. Edge rusher Chop Robinson.
Choppy.
Oh. 9th. Rome Odunze to Chicago. I think that's really likely to be wrong, but I think that's likely. I think Adunze is going earlier than ninth, if I had to guess.
I just like John was kind of like not sure about Tennessee for him because of the slot thing. Do you buy that? I mean, it's a reasonable argument. I'm just curious, like, how you feel about that.
My guess is that if the Titans had their preference, they would take Neighbors because they have two outside receivers. But also, here's the thing, like, okay. Like, his thought process is based on, and like, it's not incorrect for 2024, that Hopkins and Ridley both play on the outside. Hopkins is also like 55 years old, and Ridley's like 31 now.
Right. But when you put it like that, that maybe they like, it's not like the receiver. Yeah.
But it's not like the Titans or the Jets, where like they're trying to win like this year.
What's Adunze to go seventh right now?
Seventh, Adunze is the second choice to go seventh, plus 800.
Yeah, his second choice, but he's 8-1.
8-1, yep.
Is that worth something?
But I have Tennessee taking Harrison in this particular scenario.
Yes, you do, which is very interesting, right? That Harrison would get to seven in this particular situation.
I kind of want to ask, like, are we sure
Harrison's
that
not even
would...
listed? Is he's not even listed on this thing on our screen? Mm-hmm. He goes, his odds to go seventh, is he even listed? Like, is he 150-1 or something?
He is. I'll let you know in a second. He is 50-1 to go seventh.
So what do you need for this to happen and him to go seventh? You need Vikings trade to three.
Vikings to three. Arizona to take Neighbors.
Arizona to take Neighbors.
The Chargers to take a lineman. The Giants to take McCarthy. Like, definitely not outside the realm at all. It's unlikely.
The Chargers are, I guess, the weird one there, I guess. Just because, like,
I'll say this. Harrison's going to
be there. Yeah.
Based off everything that we've heard about this draft and the that teams, like, some teams like Neighbors more, if you played this out 50 times, Harrison doesn't slide once out of the 50.
And not even slide, like, just to seven. And it's not, and it's not that he slides to seven and the Titans have to pick him. He just slides to seven. And then maybe the Titans get phone calls just like, hey, so this generational receiver is just like there right now. We would like to pick him. And I'm sure the Titans would be like, well, we have Brian Callahan and we want to run Cincinnati 2.0. We're actually going to pick him. Thanks, click. But like, yeah, you feel the offers probably at that point. I think it happens more than 1 in 50 in this situation. Yes.
Would Atlanta ever take a receiver? Yes, right?
Sure. Why not?
Maybe it's Adunze, 8th. Unnamed edge rusher to Chicago, 9th. Joe Alt, 10 to the Jets. Oh, we're cooking. Mm. So we'll get back to the draft tomorrow. On the other side, we'll talk the Conn Smythe market in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. On the BetQL network.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
I spent the entire break just like thinking about the NFL draft. It's just really fun. It's really great. And we'll know the answers on Thursday night. We'll do our best here in the overnight and tomorrow when we're back on the air on Wednesday, 3 o'clock Eastern, to give you some thoughts on how this is going to play out. Maybe get a little more information. Maybe the betting market will move in a way where we'll start to know some things. We will see. It's all very, very, very interesting. All our bets for tonight are coming up in 20 minutes to wrap up the terrific Tuesday edition of the show. But as promised, because we've been meaning to do this for a little bit, and there's just so much good content. It's a great problem to have that we haven't had a chance to do it yet. So let's make sure we do it here. And that is the Conn Smythe market, which is given to the most valuable player of the NHL postseason. The last time I went to a player on a losing team, just to answer the question for people, was Jean-Sébastien Giguère about 20 years ago for the Anaheim Ducks when they lost in 7 to the New Jersey Devils. So I have the market up right now, Ken, at BetMGM, where Connor McDavid is a huge favorite to win the Conn Smythe. The best player in the league for Edmonton, plus 650 is Connor McDavid. Nathan McKinnon,
three assists
last night. Was awesome. Yeah, he was great. Zach Hyman scored a goal. But as per usual, yeah. Nathan McKinnon, the Hart Trophy winner, likely Hart Trophy winner for Colorado, 18-1, the same odds as New York Rangers goalie Igor Shesterkin. Jake Guentzel of Carolina is a 20-1. Remember, they traded for him at the deadline. Sebastian Aho, Guentzel's teammate for Carolina, 15-1. The Breadman, Artemi Panarin, also 15-1 for the New York Rangers. David Pastrnak, 25-1 for the Bruins. Freddie Anderson, Carolina's goalie, at 30. Matthew Tkachuk, 22 for Florida. Sergei Bobrovsky, 25 for Florida. Alexander Barkov, 30 for Florida. I could go down the list here and read more names. Why don't we start here, Ken? And if you want a price for somebody else, I have the whole market open here. We can talk about it. Kind of your philosophy, the way that you're choosing to bet Conn Smythe this year in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, we did enough of this that I think people got what teams I was on or how I viewed them or how I ordered them, but can do a little bit more thorough unpacking here. Using all the history, I feel like I have really good hockey stuff this year. It doesn't mean I'm going to have the winner. It doesn't mean I'm going to figure out the winner better than everyone else. I really like the work that I've done to get ready for this tournament. And the way that I have the teams ordered is much different than how the market has them ordered in terms of likelihood, not of making a deep run. We're just talking about the champion. And if you're going to bet Conn Smythe, yes, it can come from the losing team, but you're essentially handicapping it like it needs to come from you need this to be the winning team a lot of the time. I think there are some fringe, like McDavid makes the final and has 40 points in the postseason and he wins, whatever. I don't think you can bet hoping that that happens. You have to bet hoping that this is a player on the winning team. The way that I have the teams ordered in terms of likelihood to win the Stanley Cup, this was entering the playoffs, was Florida and then a gap. And then three teams, Boston, Vancouver, and Nashville, which I understand is much different than how the market views it. I totally get that. This is my work. I'm originating this. I'm going into the market with it, and we'll see how it goes. How it has gone is that, well, Florida's only played one game. They could lose tonight, whatever. They've held serve. Boston is going to end up in a pretty tight series with Toronto. We thought it would probably be tight anyway. Like, we liked Boston in the series.
But now so mad about
because
this.
They're swapping goalies. Yeah, so just, okay, like the Bruins are up against it a little bit. Vancouver and Nashville are playing each other, so I kind of chose to play them in different ways. More extreme outcomes. I bet In I bet both of these teams almost solely in the Conn Smythe market because I liked their best players more than the price of the team to win. Quinn Hughes's price to me was completely outrageous versus the likelihood of Vancouver to win the cup. They're like 18, 16 to 1 to win. He was 45 to 1 to win the Conn Smythe. We've seen Cale Makar win recently. We've seen Victor Hedman win recently. Quinn Hughes is going to win the Norris Trophy this year. He is by far the most likely player to win on Vancouver. So I bet him, and then I bet Roman Josi for Nashville, similar vein, at more than 100 to 1. With the idea
Yossi.
being like, well, I don't want to bet these two teams to win. They're playing each other. Let me at least start building a little bit on their best players, who I think are the most likely to player to win if they win the Stanley Cup, who are their number one defenseman. And now some stuff has happened. And so if you're listening to this segment, like, you're kind of in luck because all the things that aren't Florida are deteriorating. Thatcher Demko's hurt, and we don't know when he's coming back, and that significantly impacts. It almost makes Vancouver not, they're not going to win unless Demko comes back. You can almost frame it that way. So if you want to cross them for now until you get an update, I think that's okay. Maybe that moves Nashville on to the second round, which maybe gets a little sneaky interesting. They become like a puncher's chance team in the West to get out and be a fun team, kind of like a how the hell did this happen kind of a team with Andrew Brunette in his first year as coach and Saros and kind of like not a talented roster, but they play really well. Maybe that's the answer. I think what this does is it just coalesces how I would feel in terms of like it's Florida or bust probably going forward for me. Now, the good news is like, you don't even really have to get crazy aggressive with Florida and like Stanley Cup or to win the Eastern Conference because they're very likely, well, they're going to play a good team in the next round and they're winner of Toronto Boston. And they're very likely to play either Carolina or the Rangers in the conference finals if they win the second round. They will not be a big favorite in either of these series. The conference finals, they'll probably be a dog depending on who they play. Rob Pezzola came on, he said he has Carolina, Florida very even in terms of who he would take in that series. You don't have to go nuts on Florida, but when we pivot to Conn Smythe, now that you know where I'm at from a team standpoint, and you know the injuries that we've had so far, most notably Demko, you can understand that I'm going to look at this, and it was Quinn Hughes a lot, and it's Florida all over the place. And I've done a little bit of research just in terms of, I used to think of the Conn Smythe as a little more random, like, oh, well, like it doesn't have to be the best or second, but like it can be somebody we don't expect at all. Surely that can happen. And it's just not really what it is. It's much more okay, it's not the best player, whatever you think like the best player is, and it's obviously based on postseason performance, but it's really like there are very obvious logical thresholds. Like for example, like if it's a, so you divide it into two categories, if it's a goalie and if it's a skater. So if it's a goalie, like there have been three goalies that have won since the lockout: Tim Thomas, Jonathan Quick, and Vasilevskiy. It's like, okay, cool. These are absolute monster Vezina winners. All of them have won the Vezina before, and they all were like the key ingredient, obviously, in the team's success. In terms of the postseason this year, maybe you want to argue Bobrovsky like earns that as a guy who's won the award twice before, even though he was not the best goalie this year. Maybe you're really just talking about Bobrovsky and Hellebuck and not Demko anymore, and that's like kind of it from a pedigree standpoint. Shesterkin would be like kind of a fringy candidate in this way, but I just can't emphasize enough like the quality of the goalie versus the rest of the team in those three instances was like outrageous. Oh, to be fair, Cam Ward won right before or right after the lockout, he would be another one, but it's like it's tougher to make a case for a goalie, I think, than people expect. And I don't really see it with the teams that I like. Like, I don't want Bobrovsky as opposed to some of the other players because I think there are really appealing players on the team. If you're talking about a skater, every single skater that's won since the lockout was top five on their team in points in the regular season, and 80% of them were top three on their team in points in the regular season. This is information you'd have now before the postseason gets underway. 80, 85% of them were top three in point shares, which is like how your kind of like points that you get for wins get divided up among your team. It's like another metric to rate players. Like it's like this is what it has to be. You can take every team them and narrow them, no matter how deep you think the team is, Carolina, for example, or Dallas, can narrow them down pretty specifically into like a small pool of players that you want to play on. I've seen some people make some cases, you know, got to play third line, you know, centers and create fringe guys on these teams. I don't think that's the right approach historically, and I don't think that bears out at all based on who has won. I think you want the guys that you'd think you'd want, and if you want to get crazy, it would just be like, hey, like Florida's got Tkachuk and Reinhardt and Barkov, pick one. Like that's crazy. And like something like that, I don't think it's like Verhage and way farther down and Let's Get Nuts, and on the Rangers, let's bet like the ninth player, and on the Hurricanes, Renby. Let's bet the... Yeah, it's... I mean, it's like, does Conn Smythe go to the tallest player? Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. So just the...
He did score.
I think it's a little more straightforward than that. Like, the craziest Conn Smythe winner by far since the lockout was Justin Williams for the Kings. He was third on the team in points in the regular season. They just never scored any goals, so his numbers don't look very good. So it's like, that's the crazy one, and he was third. And now, and then it's like Crosby, Ovechkin, Jonathan Quick, like it's Patrick Kane. Like, it's just cool. Like, so now what? Now what are you supposed to do? So it's just, yeah, like you bet the obvious guys. You just go to war with the teams that you like, and then you follow the game-to-game performance of the players, and you try to project them forward, and you figure it out. So I have a lot of Quinn Hughes, and I don't know if it's going to age great, but I still have a lot of Quinn Hughes, and it's, to be fair, the price is lower than it was at the start of the tournament. And I think it's Tkachuk and Reinhardt for me to start. The good news is the prices have not changed because McDavid has played so well. So you can get the exact same price on both of them. You got the start of the postseason. Each of them scored a goal in game one against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And if you get later in the tournament and Bobrovsky starts playing insanely better than the Skaters are playing, then you have an interesting decision to make. But what has happened with Demko and how Boston-Toronto has started to deteriorate with Boston losing a home game, to me, it's just like then all roads start leading back to Florida again. And I think if you wanted to enter the market now and play this, I would choose to play Panthers. If you wanted a second team to play, I don't have a great option right now. And I think it's you wait and see what happens with Thatcher Demko status. See who wins the Canucks-Predators series. I like
Vegas,
the winner
maybe?
Of that series. I like the winner of Canucks-Predators like more than any team we're going to think of right now. I don't like Vegas a whole lot as a winner. I like them as like a... I think I like them the way I like Carolina. Go really
deep. I understand what you're saying.
Go really deep, lose to somebody. That's
like
what
make
I,
it to the
I
finals
like
and lose
teams.
To Florida or whatever.
Yeah. Carolina, or
Carolina whatever
Conference
it is, yeah.
Finals. Right, it's the same thing. So, yeah, so I mean, the way I would see the bracket shaking down real quick, and then we can, Nick, if you have like kind of how you think the bracket's going to go, I think we agree to a certain extent, but maybe there's like some pivot points where we differ. I would have Florida over winner of Boston-Toronto. I think I would have Carolina over the Rangers right now. So Florida-Carolina in the conference final. But that Carolina-Rangers matchup will be a really hard pivot point. So Florida over Carolina to get to the Stanley Cup final. The way these series have started so far, and with the Demko injury, like, how do you argue it's not Vegas-Edmonton in the conference finals right now? Dallas can obviously still come back and win the series. The Kings can come back and win the series. It feels a lot like Vegas-Edmonton. And so if you're me and you love Florida, how are you going to play the Demko injury news? You're going to bet Stanley Cup final exactas, and you're going to bet Florida over Vegas, and you're going to bet Florida over Edmonton, because now those seem much more likely with the Demko injury and how the Western Conference is going to shake out. So that's kind of just the full unpacking of where I'm at. Conn Smythe, kind of like NBA Finals MVP, kind of like Super Bowl MVP. It's just like a derivative of what team do you like? And if you like that team, you go shop their players.
Travis Kelce?
If he scored the touchdown.
Oh man.
Maybe we laugh. I mean, and
very
by the way,
tilting.
if he does that, by the way, that's a run in 2024 of if he caught the touch if they give him Super Bowl MVP. That would be a run
if
in 2024. #if he did it. Rest in peace. #if he did it. That would be a run in 2024 of Michigan, NFL awards, including comeback and coach of the year, that Super Bowl MVP, and UConn. Already in 2024 on the show. And maybe the Denver Nuggets still to come. We'll see.
You know what's really funny? You had asked me like January 1, like December or whatever, before the college football playoff, what's the most likely of all those things? At that point, I probably would have said the one that didn't hit. I probably would have said Kelce. Yeah. Kelce to win Super Bowl MVP.
Seemed pretty likely. I mean, I like Michigan a lot, obviously. But yeah, like we're just pretty positive. And if you like that work... Put it this way, if you like that work and you like the stuff we do on the show with this stuff, I think it's very likely you have Denver in one sport and you have Florida in the other.
Just play the bracket out. We'll advance the Rangers past Washington, correct?
Yes, definitely. I think they might.
We'll advance. I agree. Well, maybe Washington gets like, maybe it's a gentleman's sweep. I hate that term. Carolina will beat the Islanders.
It at least seems more likely than not, right? Like you need some kind of catalyst here for the Islanders with Sorokin or something else.
I could see the Islanders winning both games on Long Island and losing the series,
Carolina's
but making it competitive.
Remember, that was Carolina's thing the last two postseasons, right? Is they couldn't win a road game. That was
their
series against the Rangers. They won every home game and lost every road game until game seven.
Yeah, so. That's right. And the Rangers won in game seven at home. Oh, no, excuse me. The Rangers won game seven on the road in that scenario.
Right. That's what I was going to say. The first six went home, 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 and then they won. And I think that's been a thing for Carolina for a while, actually. They play these long series and they lose the road games a lot.
Yeah, they're losers. That's why I don't like them. I think the Rangers will beat them. I'll advance the Rangers to the Eastern Conference Final over Carolina. We'll take Florida over Tampa. What do you want to do with Boston-Toronto? Because I've contemplated like replaying Boston in the series now with the price being what it is again, back to being like minus like 115.
I mean, I have Boston. I would like them to win. I go back and forth on this where I go, sometimes when you think you know the winner and you're trying to create the path rather than the other way around, you're trying to like play it out and then you have the winner. When I think I know what the destination is, if I think the destination is Florida, what a great destination, it's nice and warm. If I think that's the destination and I'm trying to be like, how do I get there? To be fair, like Boston 4-0'd Florida in the regular season. Maybe the way Florida wins is Boston gets the hell out of this. And like, that's how Florida wins and Florida gets to beat Toronto.
Fascinating, right?
Right? Like you try to invent the path where it's like, well, that would make it a lot easier. I don't think Toronto is like some patsy versus the Bruins. Just like, we know the matchups historically have mattered a lot. Maybe that is how Florida gets there. Maybe they get to play the Hurricanes instead of the
Rangers.
Boston gets
Florida. Who do you like?
And that's
Boston beats Florida. Who do you like?
Boston beats Florida and they play Rangers Carolina.
Yes.
If Boston's able to beat the Panthers, then they are showing us something light years different than what they are right now, and then I would like them. But we haven't seen it yet.
Would you ever bet any Boston players to win Conn Smythe?
It's going to be... I bet McAvoy like 120 when the playoffs started, but I wouldn't bet. It's Pasternak like a ton of the time. And they're swapping the goalies. You can't bet the goalies either. Unless they choose to get off this strategy. Yeah.
What a stupid, stupid team. Coming up next, bets for tonight. Maybe we'll do a little bit more on the NHL playoff bracket.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network. Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
All right, some thank yous before we wrap up the show with bets. I feel like we could do like the playoff bracket tomorrow or whatever. Let's spend some more time on the games for tonight, right? So we'll do some thank yous, then we can drop the dope ass beat. Four amazing guests on the show today. Newly minted Odyssey Sports NBA insider, 3-time NBA champion, and St. Mary's High School graduate on Long Island in Manhasset, where my sister went to high school. Danny Green joined us on the show, thanks to him. Rob Pizzola from the Hammer and Circles Off, thanks to Rob, talking NHL. The coach, Herman Edwards from ESPN, we appreciate the coach. And John Daigle from Establish the Run, four amazing guests on the show today. Our executive producer, Alex Fasano. Our technical director, Tyler Morales. Our engineer, Jake the Snake Hassan, who you can hear weekdays here on our network, with Bet Slips and Bad Flips, along with Lucy Burge, talking baseball here on the BetQL Network. And for the last time, I think for a little bit at least, Brian Gertz was with us as our video producer. Downtown Mike Brown returns tomorrow on the show as our VP. We got married over the weekend, so can't wait to hear how the Downtown Mike Brown wedding festivities went. And a sincere thank you to our pal Brian Gertz, doing a great job the last couple of days with us here on You Better You Bet. BetMGM tonight is coming up after us. It is a four-hour live betting extravaganza. But let's get to all the bets for tonight to wrap up the show, which means we need our friend Jake the Snake. Jake, kindly drop, good sir, the dope-ass beat. BetMGM, our show sponsor, the king of sportsbooks, has their Refer a Friend program. Sign in, click on the Refer a Friend tab, and a few simple steps, you and your buddy will receive a $100 bonus. Promotional details can be found on BetMGM.com. We want you to download the BetMGM app so you can start winning with the king of sportsbooks. As we told you yesterday, BetMGM with the exclusive empty net market goal in the NHL playoffs, which is really fun, so people can check that out at the king of sportsbooks. Ken, would you like to start with the NBA or the NHL?
Probably more like sort of a discussion required on the NBA games. Hockey, maybe we have more bets. So why don't we do NBA first and just see how long it takes to kind of get through this stuff.
All right, game one in the NBA postseason tonight is the Timberwolves and the Suns in Minnesota. T-Wolves holding a 1-0 series lead, obviously beating the Suns on Sunday behind an electric Anthony Edwards third quarter. Minnesota, a 2.5-point favorite right now at BetMGM, juice towards the Wolves. So Phoenix was 3.5 for a lot of the day. It looks like Phoenix has gotten bet a little bit over the course of the last little bit. Total 211.5. Ken, how are you betting game two, Suns-Wolves, Minnesota, a 2.5-point favorite?
I think you and I both came into the series liking Phoenix. I know we did. And I know we both probably took the approach of, okay, we'll play back on Phoenix either in this game or as the series goes on for them to be pretty competitive in this series. And I do have a bet on Phoenix in this game. If there's one thing that concerns me is that the market has moved toward Phoenix despite the fact, like, I know that they're saying Grayson Allen's totally fine, and I know it was tweeted earlier that he won't have a minutes restriction, that he'll play his normal couple minutes. Hurt was injured late in game one. The Suns just have so little depth, and, like, cool, they can say he's great. Just, like, it concerns me a lot as someone with a Suns ticket that, like, any this is one of those, like, it's not the Nuggets starting five where, like, if one gets hurt they can't win the title, but it's almost like that, where it's like if you pull at this you pull at this a little bit and the Suns have no depth, it's really problematic, and Grayson Allen's an incredibly important player for them. You're kind of just crossing your fingers here. I do like Phoenix to play better than they did in game. They didn't even play that bad in game one. Edwards just went nuts. Maybe he goes nuts again. More than a possession, three a possession. I like Phoenix in the game, but definitely, like, this isn't, like, go overboard. Like, this isn't, like, oh, man, like, love Phoenix in this game. The Grayson Allen stuff, very nerve-wracking.
I think you did a great job describing that. And I said before, game one, like, I liked Phoenix to win the series, but I was going to play whoever lost game one and game two. I was going to zigzag here with the first couple games in Minnesota. So if, like, Phoenix had won game one, I would have bet Minnesota in game two. Minnesota won game one. Ergo, give me the Phoenix Suns just to win tonight. I'll bet the Suns on the money line to win tonight on the road in Minnesota. And I'll give Devin Booker's points prop tonight. My sense is that Booker will have a better game, like, hard for him to play worse, like, and normally a pretty good playoff performer. Booker's points prop tonight, juiced over. It's literally getting bet as I talk right now. I see the screen is flashing. Booker 23.5 over -125 at BetMGM. I think you get a big Devin Booker game tonight as the Suns even the series at 2. So I like the Devin Booker over 23.5 points, and then give me the Suns on the money line, Phoenix to win tonight on the road in Minnesota. Ken, game two in the Eastern Conference, Bucks and the Pacers. Giannis has been ruled out, but it feels like he'll be back at some point in the near future. Milwaukee about a 1-point favorite tonight against the Pacers. Milwaukee blowing out Indiana on Sunday, Lillard to 35 points in the first half, and they didn't score the rest of the game. Pretty ridiculous. Total 223.5. Been bet down a little bit over the course of the last couple hours. I like the under a little bit in the game. Ken, bets for you, Pacers, Bucks.
Oh, man. I mean, just an absolute slaughter in the first game, where you just go, like, is it possible for the Pacers to even play worse? They shot horribly. They started 0 for 13 from 3 in the game, I think, which, look, like, the Pacers are never going to defend at a high level. They have to make shots. They have to score. They're going to start 0 for from 3 and play the defense that they play. It's game over against basically everybody. But the really remarkable thing here for me is, like, what's going on with Tyrese Halliburton? Because it's been like a month's long thing here. Came back too early from his hamstring injury, told you that he wanted to make all NBA, and that's, like, why he had to come back. It's literally like a $50 million difference or more if he makes all NBA. He had to come back early. It's just affected his ability to be explosive, to be, like, a, you know, the best player in the series, maybe, especially with Giannis out. And I just, where that was really reflected, I'm just so shocked by this. Like, his shot chart, 4 for 7, got 7 in a game they're getting blown out. Played 37 minutes, took 7 shots. Like, this isn't, I played the under on D'Angelo Russell last night and I lost because, and I even said this, I go, look, he shot a lot. I'm just going to make him prove it. But it was on a high number of shot attempts. We knew he was going to shoot a lot. What is Halliburton in this game? What is Halliburton in this series? Took 3 threes, took 7 shots. His points prop still 15.5, 16.5, like, pretty normal. Could definitely get a high number of assists. He actually came pretty close to a triple-double in game one. I think he just bet the under on Halliburton. Not even that he can't be productive, just that he can't be productive scoring maybe anymore. It's a real question we have to ask. Like, is he 40%? And what does that look like if he is? So I like the Bucks a little bit in the game, kind of with that in mind. And really, I kind of like Halliburton's under. Yeah.
Well, if Halliburton's going to do what he did in game one, Milwaukee's going to win. Like, Siakam scored 36 in game one and they still lost.
Yeah. I mean, for what it's worth, like, just for, you know, not, it's not reversion to the mean, just like on average.
Like under in the game also then, right?
Well, I just think, like, is it that the is it that the Bucks defended at a high level, or the Pacers started 0 for 13 from three, and like that's why this snowballed? Like, I just, you know, the total I'm less mindful of, just because, like, I think it's unlikely they shoot like that again. It's unlikely in any game they shoot like that again. It can happen. It's just unlikely. As opposed to a player who's like 40% playing with a nagging injury, like that's a thing. As opposed to just like, are the shots going in or not? So I just, the total is just, it's a little tough for me, just because, like, it's not the Pacers want to play a game like this. Meanwhile, the Cavs and Magic are dying to play a game that goes under the... You see what their total opened up for game three, by the way? We've gone under in the first game, under in the second game. We bet both. Yeah, now we're in the 190s finally. Welcome.
Yeah. And right? We should
it's
be. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Maybe we should be in the 180s.
It's 199.
Pass.
Does anybody think that game's going to 200 tomorrow? Anybody? Or 2 days from now? Excuse me?
I agree with you. I definitely agree. I'm looking for Halliburton's, what's the, 19 and a half? Yeah, tough. He's not healthy. That'll be my bet for the game. I'll ride with you on Tyrese Halliburton under 19 and a half points. Final NBA game for tonight, Ken, is the Clippers and the Mavericks. Clips, about it's 1.5 juice towards Dallas. It's basically pick the winner of the game. Total 216 and a half. And I guess the thought right now is that Kawhi Leonard more likely to play than not, right, for the Clippers.
Yeah, just the market on this game has been kind of bizarre. So I got some information. I know others did as well, and I know it hit the market this morning.
Thanks, buddy.
I texted you like the second I got it.
That was sincere.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thanks, buddy is usually like sarcastic. Like, you know, I'm over here, right? You want to send it? And this was basically right before the shoot around thing came across that he was like participated in everything. So the market got bet out, like, that he's going to play, got bet out to Clippers 1.5-2. Well, we're not there anymore. We're like back down around pick in most places. We've had this like rebound effect a little bit. I don't know whether he's going to play. Intuitively, I like Dallas, and I think a lot. Danny Green came on. He liked Dallas to kind of get back in the series. I think my question with Dallas is this a full game bet? Or is this in like Kawhi's first game back, or he's out? Dallas just, like, how are they not going to come out in the first quarter, first half of this game with much more energy than yesterday? Even if they end up losing the game, how is the first quarter not better? How is the first half not better? If they got one thing right, it would be the energy early in the game would be a lot better. I can't figure out if I want to play Mavs for the game or Mavs early. It's one of those two things.
I think it's Mavs for the full game. We talked about this yesterday. I was going to love Dallas in this game. And like, Luka and Kyrie both played well in game one. No one else on Dallas did anything. I think it's unlikely that you get that again in game number two. And you also got like A-plus James Harden game, A-plus Zubats game in game one. I think it's unlikely again that you get that in game number two. Now, maybe Kawhi scores 35. We don't know what it's going to look like. I'll play the Mavericks tonight. Give me Dallas against the LA Clippers. And Ken, in the time remaining, let's talk some hockey. Talk some puck. Drop the puck. I'm guessing you don't want to do anything with the Rangers and Capitals. Rangers, a huge favorite. -1.5 on the puck line, -105. Total in the game is 5.5.
Yeah, nothing for me in that. I mean, we can group everything together if we want to. This is the same way I thought about Hurricanes Islanders game two yesterday. I did not think the Islanders would be up 3-0 and blow it. Just like favorite puck line or nothing. And I say that knowing how random the NHL playoffs can be. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with the worst team in playoff history, basically, coming into this series. What am I supposed to do with this? I think it's just the Rangers blast them, or I'm not interested. And I think tonight I'm not interested. I would expect the Rangers to win, but so does the market.
Do you want to group the other games together? Panthers, Lightning, Avs, Jets, Predators, Canucks. What you like in the other three games?
Yeah, I mean, I have the Panthers for the series, and I bet a little bit on them in game one, and I'm going to bet on them in this game. And I honestly think this is going to be like, I'm going to bet the Panthers in like every game of the playoffs kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
I may bet Reinhardt to score again tonight. I haven't decided if I'm going to do that or not yet. Have you seen, I'll do that game last. I really like Vancouver, and I like playing against the injury line move. This is like our NBA angle, and we do this in hockey a little bit. That's the Canucks tonight, who are down some places -115, -120 with DeSmith against Nashville. I think Vancouver definitely wins. Colorado has gotten bet like somebody knows the final score of the game. I mean, they're out to -125, -130 now on the road. And I like Winnipeg a little bit now, but I
love
that line move and that market that's weird for me. But strongest inclination tonight. Vancouver wins without Demko. Florida still wins, but you're laying a heavier price.
Yeah, so I don't know how I want to bet Florida. I don't know if I want to bet them on the puck line or not. I also have Florida for the series. Definitely love Vancouver. Definitely love Winnipeg. Maybe I'll parlay the Rangers and the Panthers. Maybe that's how I'll do it. Just have action on everything.
Have the Rangers blow it for you instead of the Panthers. Be like, well, I want to get this Panthers payout better. Let me put in the Rangers and your final score in overtime. Capitals 3, Rangers 2.
All right, buddy. I will talk to you tomorrow on a wonderful Wednesday. Yeah. Enjoy your night.
Yeah. Very, very close to the draft, getting down to it.
All right, to our listeners and viewers, I am Nick Costos. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3. And until then, I'm wishing you minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck.
Thanks for listening to You Better You Bet. Up next, it's BetMGM Tonight on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.